today. He remembered the thief hanging by.
This is Spring Valley Bible Church, and we're studying the Word of God this morning in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and that was Dottie Rambo, If That Isn't Love. Let's begin with the word of prayer. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. But in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, how grateful we are that we have our protection from you. Not in the world, from the world, but from you. Father, we're so thankful this morning that we can come together and worship together without actually being physically together, but together spiritually by the power of your Spirit, by the love of your Word. And Father, we pray that all that we do this morning will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. I want to begin this morning. If you'll open your Bibles to Psalm 34. Let's open the Bibles to Psalm 34. It's a Bible church. Have a Bible. Any translation you like is fine. I teach out of the New American Standard. Let's look at Psalm 34, verses 12 and 13. Now, I want you to realize when David wrote this, David feared for his life. He feared for his life. He pretended that he was insane. He feared for his life. And look what he said when he thought about it and wrote this beautiful psalm. Verse 12 and 13. Man who desires life and loves the length of days that he may see good. One thing about coronavirus, you get to decide, do you love life? Do you want to continue living? Do you hold on to your life? Do you protect yourself? Gloves, mask, all these type of things? Here's the real protection. Not these physical things, but in the Lord. Verse 13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Now, the wonderful apostle Peter, I love Peter. He put his foot in his mouth many times, but he came out to be one of the great heroes of the Bible. Look at 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're going to look at verses 10 through 12 of 1 Peter chapter 3. For the one who desires life to love. And right there is why we're looking at this. Because this morning we're going to study loving as Christ loved. The one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Now verse 13, verse 12 is very powerful. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayers. People, you want your prayers answered by God? That's why we pray. I'm afraid I think a lot of prayers, most prayers go up to the ceiling no higher. But God's ears are tuned to the ears, to those who pray in the power of this Holy Spirit. So let's look at verse 12 again. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to those, to their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. Okay. I understand we have many new listeners worshiping with us in the Word of God. Probably next Sunday or so, I'm going to have to just get right into the study. We welcome you to Spring Valley Bible Church, where we come together this new way via Facebook, YouTube, Internet, three times a week. Once on Wednesday night, where we're studying the great book of Ezekiel, God's plan for the future. And then we meet twice on Sunday. Sunday morning, 9:30 right now. And we're studying Loving as Christ Loved, Spiritual Love. The second service, we're studying the Ephesians chapter 1. We're in chapter 1. We're studying the great study of adoption. Now, this worship service, we're studying the new commandment given to us by our Savior, the head of the church. What is, people are so involved with the Ten Commandments. Here's one commandment, the new commandment given to us by the head of the church. Please turn with me to Gospel of John, chapter 13. Gospel of John, chapter 13. Hours before his crucifixion. A new commandment I, Jesus Christ, give to you. In context, the disciples. But in application, it refers to believers throughout the church age. All believers everywhere. That you love one another. Another here is another of the same kind. Another believer. Well, aren't we supposed to love unbelievers? Yes. But, oh, people, it's so easy to love an unbeliever. But to love a believer. Believers let us down. Believers hurt us. Believers turn on us. Believers criticize. It's tough sometimes to love believers. That's why Christ made this new commandment that you love one another of the same kind, other believers. Even as I have loved you. See, a lot of us want to love by our standard. We don't get to do that as Christians. The standard is set by our Savior, as I have loved you. Now, by this, by loving as I love you, all men. Now, men is not in the original. It's not found there. It says all. Angels are watching. That's right. Angels learn by watching the human race and unbelievers and believers. So it says all, it means all. Angel and all mankind. See? We'll know that you are my disciples if you love one another in this manner. Now here's the secret. He's not speaking of love from our flesh nature. I'm afraid that's the way most Christians try to love. They try to build it up within themselves. Not at all. Later in John chapter 14, Christ is going to talk about, I give you the Holy Spirit. I give you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. In Galatians 5, we learn that a fruit of the Holy Spirit is love. Spiritual love. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. When you walk by faith in the Spirit, He gives you spiritual love. Now, excuse me. I call this spiritual love because it is the only, it is a love that can only come from a new spiritual creature, creation. That's every born again believer. This love cannot come through an unbeliever. It can come only through a new spiritual creation. Now, then it can only come when that believer is empowered by the Holy Spirit, by grace through faith. And then that love has a spiritual impact. So it's a new spiritual creature provided by the Holy Spirit and has spiritual impact. What's one of the impacts? That all will know. Angels will know. People will know that you belong to Jesus Christ. Not because you say so. Not because you go to church. Not because you tell people. But because you love one another in the power of the Holy Spirit. So much is dependent on knowing how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then walking and living in the Holy Spirit. Let's say you sin. Mental attitude sin, sin of the tongue, gossip, lying, boasting. That means you're out of fellowship. You're out of the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and you're under the power of sin. When you sin, when we sin, that's what happens. We come under the power of sin. Now, the question is, see, you've lost fellowship with the Holy Spirit. You've lost fellowship with God. So the question is, how can I get back into the power of the Holy Spirit? How can I get back into fellowship with the Holy Spirit? That's the question. See? How do you walk in the Holy Spirit? Now, many pastors talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit, but they never tell you how. Now they'll proclaim, almost every time they talk, how the unbeliever can be saved. Even though they're talking to a group of believers, they will get the gospel in, and that's fine. But they never tell the believer how to be filled with the Holy Spirit. How are you filled with the Holy Spirit? That becomes the great question. That's the great issue. Now, some do tell you how. You've got to repent. You've got to confess. You've got to yield. You've got to do all these things. Now, do you know why they talk about confession, yielding, repenting, and all that? Because I get to be part of it. That's works, people. They would not say that as part of being saved. And if I said you're saved by confession, you're saved by yielding, you're saved by repentance, they'd say, no, that's works. And they'd be right. But now that you're a believer, somehow it's no longer works. Yes, it is. Because you're under the power of sin. And being under the power of sin, you've got to come out from the power of sin. And there's only one way we can do it. And we learn that from our salvation. When we were unbelievers, under the penalty of sin and the power of sin, how did we come out? By faith. By grace through faith. That's how we came out. Believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we came out from the penalty of sin and the power of sin. But as believers, we can go back under the power of sin. Not the penalty, but the power of sin. So, how do I get out of the power of sin and back into the power of the Holy Spirit? See? By faith alone. See? No works added. This is answered in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. As you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. How did you receive Him? By faith. By grace through faith. So now we continue to live by grace through faith. See? We continue to walk by faith. This time faith in the Holy Spirit. Come under the power of the Holy Spirit. Immediately empowers you. Just like when you believed in Christ, immediately you were saved. You believe in the Holy Spirit, immediately you're back into the power of the Holy Spirit. It's by grace. It's God's working. You don't pull yourself out of sin. You can't. You're dead in sin when you're under the power of sin. It has to be by grace through faith. And when we put our faith in the Holy Spirit, we're back into the power of the Holy Spirit, ready to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ, increasing in the knowledge of God and loving as Christ loved. Now, we studied categories of spiritual love. We studied how it is the new commandment given in John 13 that we just read. We studied how it is a spiritual force. Others will know that you belong to Christ. Paul says, number 3, it's a superior way of life. Number 4, it is the spiritual alchemizer. Alchemizer. How do I say that? Why do I say that? 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 3. And you study those passages. If I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, nothing. It's spiritual love that transforms everything we do into gold before God. Number 5, it is the spiritual immune system. And we'll see that this morning. It is not arrogant. Spiritual love protects you. It's your immune system, spiritual immune system. See? It is the foremost commandment. 1 John chapter 3, 22 through 24. Number 6, spiritual love as a spiritual force. Spiritual love is a spiritual force provided by the Holy Spirit when you walk in the Spirit. There is no spiritual love if you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit. Walking by faith in the Holy Spirit works mightily in you. You don't do these things. He does it. And then the 7th one, spiritual love is the more excellent way. 1 Corinthians, the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It is a superior way of life, superior to any other way, superior to love as Christ loved. Now, spiritual love, as we're going to see this morning, is a spiritual immune system. Now, we know about immune systems, don't we? Especially during COVID-19. We have an immune system that protects us from this virus. See, and that's what you work with. The immune system to our spiritual life is spiritual love. Today, as coronavirus, nearly everyone is concerned about their physical immune system. How can I strengthen it? How can I do this? Well, we need zinc, need to learn to breathe, so forth. Strengthen your immune system. How to make it stronger, protected. Well, people, you have a spiritual immune system. A spiritual immune system. See? Called spiritual love. It doesn't come in a tablet. It doesn't come in a liquid. It comes by faith. We have moved in the impacts of spiritual love to in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4. I want you to remember, the Bible does not define love. It defines faith, but it does not define love. It describes love. It describes the impact of love. The effect of love. Much like our gravity. You go on the dictionary or something, look up the definition of gravity. We define gravity by description. It's a force that attracts a body toward the center of the earth. It's not a definition, it's a description. See? And that's what spiritual love is. It's a spiritual force. And that's the way the Bible defines love, by describing it, not by defining it. Now, we have studied in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting at verse 4, spiritual love is long-suffering. Oh boy, is that important when we're in confinement. Husband and wife, parent and children, family, confinement. See, how long is your love? Some people's love is very sharp. Boy, I mean, their temper hits. Spiritual love is long-suffering. Long-suffering. Study God and His love toward Israel in the Old Testament. Then Paul describes the impacts of spiritual love. Love is kind. We studied that. Then he goes to the negatives. Usually here is where we see spiritual love as a spiritual immune system. It will protect you. Spiritual love is not jealous or envious. Spiritual love does not boast or brag. See? What we learn here, that spiritual love is a spiritual immune system. It will not allow these antigens. You know what an antigen is in the body? Not allow these antigens into your spiritual life. Spiritual love protects you, protects who you are in Jesus Christ. A lot of people try to do it with their own flesh. They're all, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to do this. No, it's spiritual love that will protect you. Now, I want you to note a pattern here. I did this a couple weeks ago, and I won't be able to do this every Sunday. But since we have new people, I love spiritual love. Spiritual love is long-suffering. That's the environment it creates in you. No one can see that. It's in you. Spiritual love is kind. That's the environment others can see. Spiritual love is not jealous, envious. That's inside the believer. Spiritual love does not boast. That's outside. That's what others can see. Spiritual love is not arrogant. Our study this morning. That's on the inside. See? Next we'll see, spiritual love does not act unbecoming. That's the outside. That's what the world can see. See? So we come to spiritual love and arrogance, the most basic and fundamental of all the antigens to our spiritual life, arrogance. And the power of spiritual love is that spiritual love is immune to arrogance. It will not allow it. Now I want to start off with a very important fundamental principle, and I will repeat this one. You do not make a decision not to be arrogant. That's arrogance. You don't make that decision. That's a negative decision. I will not be arrogant. That's a negative. See? You want to make a positive decision about your spiritual life. You make a decision positive about your life, not negative. You make a decision about you and God the Holy Spirit who is in you. That's what your decision is. You do not make a decision not to be arrogant. You can't make that decision. To make that decision out of arrogance is arrogance. It's in the flesh. See? You can't pull that off in the flesh. Your flesh nature is weak and is in opposition to everything about the plan of God. So your flesh nature wants to be arrogant. That protects self. I'll show you that later today, maybe. Arrogance protects you in the flesh nature. Jealousy protects you in the flesh nature. See? Look at Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, starting at verse 16. Let's look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. Here's the Holy Spirit and the flesh. Now here's the desires of the flesh. For the flesh sets its desire against the Spirit. So people, you cannot in the flesh make the decision, I will not be arrogant, and pull it off before God. Maybe before man, but not before God. Now, let's continue. And the spirit against the flesh. There's a battle going on. I used to like to say, it's not bad tacos or bad Mexican food in your stomach. It's a battle between your flesh nature and the Holy Spirit. For the flesh sets its desire against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. For they're in opposition to one another, so that you may not do the things you please. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now, following the description of your life under the control of the flesh nature. Let's look at that. Start at verse 19. Now, the deeds of the flesh. Here's what we are when of the flesh. Are evident. They create an environment. Spiritual love creates an environment. Flesh nature creates an environment. Deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying. Think about this last week in close confinement with your husband, your wife, your children, your family. Have any of these things describe you? Continuing in verse 21. Drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I form. I love that. And things like these. In case I didn't name yours, I know there's got to be somebody, I don't do any of those things. I'm so wonderful. Well, it's things like that. So whatever it is, he's got you. Gotcha type thing. All right. So, things like these. Now, things like these, which I forewarned you, just as I forewarned you, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They may enter the kingdom of God, but not inherit. It's a big difference theologically in that. Then, Paul goes into a description of your life under the power of the Holy Spirit. Look at this. Here's the Holy Spirit. But the fruit of the Spirit, love, spiritual love, our study, joy, inner happiness, regardless of circumstances, peace, inner peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. Faithfulness is the fruit of the Spirit, not of the flesh. A lot of people are, I'm faithful to God, I'm faithful. No. Faithfulness is not of the flesh. You want your faithfulness to be of the Holy Spirit. See? Faithfulness. Gentleness. Self-control. And I love the closing of verse 22. Against such things, there is no law. Verse 23. Against such things, there is no law. Whatever the law says, it will never condemn these things. Prohibit these things. A lot of things are prohibited today. But prayer is not prohibited. Your personal prayer, studying the Bible, learning the Word of God, these kind of things are not prohibited in the Word of God. Now, secondly, first, you don't make a decision not to be arrogant. You make a decision to be in the power of the Spirit by grace through faith. Secondly, where spiritual love is present, there is no arrogance. Where there is arrogance, there is no spiritual love. If someone says they love, and there's arrogance, it's not spiritual love. Both arrogance and spiritual love create an environment, first of all, inside of you, and then outside of you. You create an environment with your arrogance. You create an environment with your spiritual love. You create the environment. Arrogance turns people off. Spiritual love attracts. Amen. It's very humble. Okay. Now, the environment of arrogance, just the opposite of the environment of spiritual love. It is impossible to live the Spirit-filled life where arrogance manifests itself. Every one of you create an environment at home, your social life, when we get back to that, at work, wherever you go. We create an environment. Very important. Remember that by loving as Christ loves, the world learns something about you, that you belong to Jesus Christ. What's your secret? How can you love like that? It's a secret to the world. And it gives you an opportunity to witness. If someone is a believer and tells others he loves God or he loves others, other believers, he's arrogant. See, puffed up. Sense of self-importance. Then the world will know he's just like them. Just like them. Now, let's get to work on the Greek of 1 Corinthians 13:4. Point one. Now, different pastors, different ways of teaching. I like to teach by points. It kind of organizes thought in the development of thought of a passage. So let's begin with point one, grammar of 1 Corinthians 13:4. Love is the subject, and that's very important, not you. This is not about you. This is about love, spiritual love, the love given to you by God the Holy Spirit. This is the same love that put Christ on the cross. That same love is of God. That same love is by God. That same love flows through you. It's remarkable. See, the love, agape, is not. Actually, it simply says in the Greek, not. There is no verb to be. No verb, no verb is or to be. Not. A Greek, now the Greek negative here. See, Greek has different negatives. The Greek negative used here shuts the door. No exceptions. This is truthful, a spiritual love, whenever and wherever it is found. Next we have a verb. Not a descriptive noun, but an active verb. We have the present middle indicative of the Greek verb meaning to blow, to inflate, to puff up. Which is why the King James translates this, is not puffed up. It's a verb. Now, let's go to point two. The subject is spiritual love of the new commandment, plus the negative. Spiritual love is not puffed up, which means is not arrogant. Spiritual love is not arrogant. It's an immune system. It will protect you from arrogance. It is the property of spiritual love. Where spiritual love is present in you, there is no arrogance. Spiritual love is not characterized by arrogance. Putting it another way, arrogance cannot produce spiritual love. Many people think they can. Many people try to imitate this love. It can't be. Not before God. Maybe before an unsuspecting human, believer or unbeliever. But not God. See, God looks within us. See? This one is very important, as we will see, for arrogance produces, what arrogance produces is a pseudo-love. A love of legalism. One of the great enemies to the Christian life. Liberalism. An imitation of the real thing. And I'm not talking about Coca-Cola. It's an imitation of the real thing. Loving as Christ loved. It cannot produce love of Jesus Christ. It cannot do it. Now, on the other hand, spiritual love simply will not permit arrogance. Spiritual love will not permit arrogance. Now, that brings us to point three. Verbal forms. Verbal forms. Once again, Paul describes property of spiritual love in verbs, verbal forms, present middle indicative of the verb. Paul, under the Holy Spirit, does not use a descriptive adjective, a qualifying noun, to describe spiritual love. He uses a verb, spiritual love acts. The Greek verb, phusio, phusio, is a rare word in classical Greek, and actually even in biblical Greek. It really wasn't known as sin until biblical Greek came along, Koine Greek. And it's largely limited to Christian literature written by Paul. It refers to being puffed up in the sense of being arrogant, pride, conceit. Being puffed up was a very important spiritual issue to Paul. Some of the most arrogant people in the world, people, are born-again believers. I'm sorry. Some of the most arrogant people in the world are Christians, born-again believers. It's amazing all that arrogance does in the assembly. Look at the assembly of Corinth, where they were presumptuous and arrogant about so many different things. And it still goes on today. They were arrogant about their spiritual gifts. They were arrogant about who they listened to. They were arrogant about, they were even arrogant about their immorality. I'll show you that. How about that? Look at your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 4. Give you a minute to look there. 1 Corinthians chapter 4. verse 6. Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively applied to myself and Apollos for your sakes, so that in us you may learn not to exceed what is written, so that not one of you will become arrogant in behalf of one against the other. They were arrogant about who they listened to. Well, I listened to Apollos. Well, I listened to Paul. I listened to Peter. All these kind of things. And they didn't even have a tape ministry. They didn't have a television ministry. They didn't even have a radio ministry. And people were already using the pastor to build their own arrogance. Verse 7. For who regards you as superior? What did you have that you have not received? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as if you have not received it? Spiritual gifts. The problem of arrogance was not between Paul and Apollos or Peter, but among the assembly, the believers. But today I'm afraid there's a great deal of arrogance between pastors. And about that, there's so much TV, internet, CDs, radio, on and on and on, books. And people become very arrogant, and pastors become very arrogant. See? This self-inflated importance was the very cause of division in the assembly of believers in Corinth. People, it's amazing what can break up a local church. Dr. Leitner, when I was in seminary, wrote a book about church splits, studying them. Church splits all the way through history. It's amazing what they'll split over. Split over the color of the carpet. Split over the paving of the parking lot. Split over some immorality of somebody in the church. Maybe the choir director. Maybe the pastor. Maybe someone in the church that has a high profile, and it splits the church. Shameful. What a shame. That's a shame, people. Yes, it's a shame. They have to deal with the sin of someone prominent in the church. But you can tell what's going on in their souls by how they handle it. Is there a big split? Or do they come together and handle it in spiritual love? See? So the problem is not arrogance between the pastors, but between believers in the church. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You're right close to it. Look at chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And let's look at verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's just read a few verses, starting at verse 10. Now I exhort you, this is Paul speaking to these wonderful believers of Corinth. I exhort you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all agree that there is be no division among you, but that you be made complete in the same mind, in the same judgment, the same understanding of the Word of God. For I have been informed concerning you by brethren, my brethren, by close people, that there are quarrels among you. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Peter, I'm of Christ. Let me tell you something. You meet somebody, well, I'm a Methodist. So that immediately causes the other person, well, I'm a Baptist. And then, I'm a Calvinist. I'm a free person. I believe in grace. And we start battling, right? And we just met each other. Why not? I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Hey, so am I. Let's sit down and have a Coke. Let's sit down and have some tea. Let's talk about it. Hey. Don't start off, well, I'm this and I'm that. I'm a believer in Christ. I follow Him. So do I. Let's talk about it. See? Alright, let's continue reading. Verse 12. Now I mean this, that each one of you is saying, I'm a Paul, I'm a Apollos, I'm a Peter, and the real group, I'm of Christ. I'm really self-righteous. I'm really wonderful. Y'all follow Peter. I follow Christ. I'm of Christ. How arrogant. Verse 13. Has Christ been divided? Paul was not crucified for you, was he? Now, see, Christ being divided, Christ doesn't divide. I'm of Christ. I'm not like y'all. No, we're all of Christ. See? Paul was not crucified. No pastor was crucified for you. And I thank God for that. Christ was crucified for you. Or, were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, so that no one would say you were baptized in my name. I'm not going to talk about baptism this morning, but this is a powerful passage dealing with it. Verse 16. Now, I did baptize also the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize. How about that? He didn't send me to baptize. I grew up in a church. I loved it. We had a board back in the front of the church there. And it said, last Sunday's attendance, last Sunday's offering, last Sunday's baptism, last Sunday, this and that, about five things. And used to look at it. Pay attention to it. Go over to my grandfather's house after church to eat. He would quiz me on what the pastor talked about and about that plaque. What did it say? So I always had to pay attention to both the sermon and the plaque because I knew I was going to be quizzed about it. Now, so, verse 17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not in cleverness of speech, so that the cross of Christ would not be made void. And so you can see how horrible and divisive arrogance can be. Arrogance is. See? We'll see in chapter 11, arrogance brought about abuse of the Lord's Supper. Can you imagine something as gathering communion as the communion table? And they used it to divide one another in the church. It's amazing to do that. That's what arrogance will do. A ritual that should be the center of communion brought about arrogant division in the local assembly. Don't do that, people. Don't do that. And, unbelievably, arrogance have done their spiritual gifts. How about that? Arrogant about your spiritual gift. You didn't earn it. You didn't deserve it. It's not from you. It's from God, the Holy Spirit, who gives us spiritual gifts. And to become arrogant about it, speaking in tongues, and you're a second-class citizen if you don't, a whole chapter devoted to that. See? After a survived warning that arrogance can actually cut you out of rewards at the judgment seat of Christ. People, please remember, a lot of people are talking about the rapture. I'm looking forward to the rapture. I think we're close. But if you're so excited about the rapture, remember the first thing that happens right after the rapture, judgment seat of Christ. What's going to be going on in heaven during the 7 years on earth? Judgment seat of Christ. And every born-again believer has to stand before Jesus Christ and be evaluated, not for sins, not for works, but for allowing the Holy Spirit to work in you and what you did in the power of His Spirit. That's why it's so important to know how to be filled with the Spirit and to be sure you are filled with the Spirit. See? Look at Colossians chapter 2. We just spent time on it. It's in the internet on our website. Colossians chapter 2, verse 18. Colossians 2, verse 18. Let no one keep defrauding you of your prize at the judgment seat of Christ by delighting in self-abasement and the worship of angels, taking his stand on visions and dreams, things he has seen inflated arrogance without cause by his fleshly mind. Arrogance is from our flesh self, people, not from the Holy Spirit. Now we move to point 4. Again, I use numbers to help us work in our thought system. The word is used only by Paul and only once outside of 1 Corinthians, and that is in Colossians 2:18, which we just read. And we have noted believers at Corinth were split, divided, jealous, envious of one another, boasting of one another, pastors they'd listened to, spiritual gifts. They boasted of their own spiritual advantages of gifts and blessings that they have. They were filled with arrogance. And solution to arrogance is spiritual love. Not making a decision not to be. The solution to arrogance is spiritual love. In fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, just before he goes into the study on spiritual love, the last thing he says in chapter 12, I will show you a more excellent way than all these great spiritual gifts. And that more excellent way is loving as Christ loves. People, that's powerful. Powerful. They were arrogant about themselves, who they listened to. They were arrogant about their spiritual gifts. They were arrogant about their dreams and visions. They used spiritual blessings to build up their own arrogance. I'm afraid I know people who are arrogant about, oh, how much doctrine they know. Oh, I know lots of doctrine. I know a lot of doctrine. I know more doctrine than you. Let's take a doctrinal quiz test. See who knows the most doctrines. See? It's a shame. If you really know doctrine, you know that that's not an area of boasting. See? In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 2, arrogant about sin. Can you imagine that? Arrogant about sin. Chapter 8, verse 1, arrogance about knowing doctrine. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. We're in 1 Corinthians. Look at chapter 8, verse 1. Now, concerning things sacrificed to idols, we know that we all have knowledge that that's wrong. Knowledge makes arrogant. Love, spiritual love, edifies. See, well, I know better than sacrificing to idols. I know better. I know. Knowledge puffs up. Spiritual love just doesn't do it and doesn't talk about it. This last phrase can be taken one of two ways. See? But love edifies. First of all, keeping parallel with knowledge makes that person arrogant. Spiritual love edifies that person. Or it can be that spiritual love edifies others as well as self. The word edifies needs a little attention here. The root meaning of this Greek word refers to building a house. A builder, to build, to construct. Are you a builder? Every believer can be a builder. Children, great senior citizens. See? People, if you're alive, God has a purpose for you. I don't care how young, how old you are. I don't care what condition you're in. If you're alive, God has a purpose. It may be a prayer warrior. And don't ever, ever underestimate that. Well, all I can do is pray for you. All I can do is pray. That's all I want. Can you believe that? That means I have the power, I have the ability to go to the supreme authority of the world, God, for your behalf. That's good enough for me. Good enough for me. See? Now. Yes. Confidence, well, confidence can be arrogance. It doesn't have to be. I can be confident in the power of the Spirit. I'm confident in the Word of God. I'm confident that when I die, I'm going to heaven. That's not arrogance. That's confidence in the Word of God. Arrogance is from the flesh. Confidence, the Holy Spirit. Very good. Now, the word edify needs some attention. It means to build a house, to construct. There, metaphorically, to build up, to establish, to confirm. Spiritual love is a spiritual force that builds you up spiritually. Builds up somebody else spiritually. See? The body of Christ. Point five. Now, as to the translation of the verb, we can translate it with the force of a passive voice or with the force of a middle voice. If we translate it with the force of a passive voice, spiritual love is not puffed up. Spiritual love is not arrogant. But if we translate it with the force of the middle, spiritual love does not puff itself up. Spiritual love is not arrogant about itself, which is in character with this whole chapter. Spiritual love, it is the nature of spiritual love with all the impacts and environments that we have listed in verse 16 of them in our chapter 13. But with all these impacts, with all these benefits, spiritual love does not promote itself, does not draw attention to itself. See? Does your love draw attention to yourself? Think about it. Have you ever met someone who boasts of their love, who promotes their love? That's a real turnoff, people. This quality of spiritual love, this action of spiritual love, gives a crucial blow to human love, to love from our flesh nature, which seeks to puff itself up. People, please remember what arrogance is. Arrogance is an immune system of your self nature. Somebody, you're in a group, somebody says, well, they sure look nice. Well, wait a minute. Don't you like my suit? Don't you like my dress? Don't you like my hair? What about me? It's an immune system. It protects you. If you feel threatened, jealousy comes to the front. Arrogance comes to the front. That's what they do. That's what they're for. Spiritual love protects you, who you are in Christ. And when you're content with who you are, here's our contention. Contentment, confident, who you are in Christ, you don't need to be arrogant. I am satisfied with who I am in Christ. Are you? Are you satisfied with who you are in Christ? Or do you have to be the showboat? Do you have to be center stage? Are you satisfied with who you are in Christ? Human love desires credit, reward. Human love is arrogant. Now, spiritual love is not arrogant. Spiritual love, see, is not arrogant. It will not allow it. It's the immune system for who you are in Christ. Arrogance is so destructive, it ruins many lives. Many marriages are ruined because of arrogance. Many churches have been split because of arrogance. It's the basis of a multitude of bad decisions. It hurts self. It hurts others. We must understand how detrimental arrogance is to our Christian life to really appreciate this impact of spiritual love. Once you understand the horror, how horrible spiritual love is, how arrogance is, how destructive arrogance is, you will come to really appreciate spiritual love that is not arrogant and will not permit you to be arrogant. I want to remind you, you don't make a decision not to be arrogant. You make a decision to be empowered by the Holy Spirit. He pours in spiritual love. Spiritual love is not arrogant. Not you and me. Spiritual love is not arrogant. Now, I know we're running out of time, but the next segment that we're going to study is the source of arrogance. The source of arrogance. Point one, arrogance is basic, fundamental problem of humanity. It arises from the very existence of the human being. Of rational creatures. The very fact that man exists leads to arrogance. Sets up the potential of arrogance. Think about it. Think about it. When you're a little child, your children start growing up. Once they realize me, it's about me. What I want. Who I am. And that becomes the responsibility, challenge of every parent. Teach your children. Not to be arrogant. Teach them about the Holy Spirit. But arrogance is very basic and fundamental to our existence. Now point two. From the absolute eternal existence of God, we learn some things about the existence of man. And why arrogance cannot love. You understand that? Arrogance cannot love other than self. I like the quote, the only good thing about an arrogant person, they don't gossip. They're always talking about themselves. So I guess that's if you want to call that a benefit of arrogance, they don't gossip about other people. They're too busy talking about themselves. But point two, we learn a great deal about arrogance and why arrogance cannot love. This will become a vital understanding of arrogance. Arrogance cannot love. A vital understanding of arrogance cannot love God. Oh, it can boast that it loves God, but cannot love God. Cannot love others. Cannot love a wife or a husband, children. Arrogance cannot love. I'll show you that as we go through our study. Why an arrogant person cannot love his wife or a husband? Why arrogance cannot love Jesus Christ? Please understand that this is one of the reasons why spiritual love is not arrogant. Spiritual love will allow you to love Jesus Christ, allow you to love God, allow you to love one another. We'll pick it up right here next Sunday morning. I hope you'll come back and join us. In about 15 minutes, we're going to study in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. Wednesday night, we're studying that God is in control of history. May not look like He's in control of history right now. He's in full control. He's not lost control. Coronavirus did not shock God. He's in full control. See, the president of our country has no manual to read on what to do in this kind of a situation. It's never happened in American history. Never. He doesn't have anything to go by. Got to rely on wisdom from God. That's why we need to be in prayer for him and the vice president and all the staff. But no manual on it. But God is not shocked. God has given us a manual on living through anything even like this. See you in a couple of minutes, hopefully. See you Wednesday night, 7:30. The 7 o'clock. We meet on 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our study this morning in the Word of God. about loving as Christ loved. And we're so thankful, Father, it's not up to us. It's not up to us to try to imitate it. We can't. It's up to us to walk by faith and allow your Spirit to pour this love in us. I pray, Father, your Spirit can use the things we've seen this morning to the honor and glory of Jesus Christ, our Savior and friend. Amen.